Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. See what kind of love the Father has given to us? That we should be called children of God? And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is because it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. But what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. John has a marvelous way of saying everything all at once and taking that one beautiful thing and moving it around so we can take a look at it from all the angles. He's talking about the impact of what the disciples in Luke's gospel had experienced. So now that Jesus is raised from the dead, what next? What's going to happen now? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen in the world and for his people in the church? What's going to happen next? For his disciples, they had all kinds of questions. What is Jesus going to do now? He lays out for them his plan in Luke's gospel, as we read it earlier. He opens their minds so that they can understand the scriptures, so that everything that they had read previously from Genesis 1:1 all the way through to Malachi 4, that they would see Jesus there. That every single one of those texts that they had heard from little on up, that had never really had anything they thought to do with Jesus of Nazareth, now had everything to do with Jesus of Nazareth. In fact, just like Martha said, they couldn't help but see Jesus everywhere because he had opened their mind to understand the scriptures. And being so then equipped with the Word and Christ meeting together in their minds and hearts, that when it came to going into the city of Jerusalem at the time for Pentecost, they preached. They were able to unpack the whole story from first to last. They were able to point out every experience that Jesus had had and show its relationship to the Lord's big picture plan. And how even that man who was there, lame and unable to walk, suddenly standing, dancing around in the midst of the temple for being healed, was a foretaste of the feast to come. An anticipation. An appetizer for the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. So John had had all of those experiences, and he's reflecting on that whole transformation that has happened, but also recognizing that, wait, there's more. But even the reality of the resurrection is even now having its way with me as the Holy Spirit brings the perfection of God's own heart, plan, and mind, His Word, shaping my life as well, even now. The Father looked on those poor and fearful disciples and sent Jesus to them and said, "Hey guys, you are my children. You are my witnesses. We're together in this." And John hears that word of friendship, that word of family, that word of fatherly hospitality, that word of bringing them into God's household as part of the kingdom of God, as a word of love. We who had denied Jesus, we who had run away from Jesus, we who had acted in fear, God calls us beloved children. That's the kind of love God has for us. He doesn't count our past against us. He addresses us in the now and says, "See who you are. Hear my word of forgiveness. Let it go right into your ears and right into your mind, all the way down to your heart, all the way down to your toes, so that you can know for sure that you're hearing me, that you're taking my word for it. Because when I call you my child, I truly mean it. And it in fact makes you that very thing. It makes you. That's something that no one can take away from you, and I will never deny." See what kind of love the Father has given us? People who don't deserve any of it get all of it. So that we would be called children of God, and that's exactly what we are. Followers close to Jesus. Those disciples couldn't really expect to be treated any differently than the way Jesus was treated. They weren't going to have some kind of easy road about any of this. The reason why the world does not know us is because it didn't know Him. So that's the way that's going to work. Your expectations really ought to be set by what the Savior experienced. The cross stands over all of our lives as we follow Jesus. But that cross also leads to resurrection life and eternity with Him. So it's no surprise that those disciples were also quite fearful when it came to taking up the mission to preach the forgiveness of sins and eternal life in the name of Jesus to all the world, beginning in Jerusalem. "You are my witnesses," Jesus said. "You have seen me. The world hasn't seen me, but you have. You've walked this road all the way from first to last, from the baptism of John all the way now to my moment right here with you to say everything you've seen, everything that you now know from Genesis to Malachi, my entire life with you, all of this is your message. It shapes who you are and what you are, a child of God." Beloved, we are God's children now. He has said it. He has adopted us. He signed His name on all the paperwork. blazoned us with his own name. What we are now, this flesh and blood, this body moving on towards death, it isn't what it will be. But God has promised that it will be as Jesus is now. What we will be has not yet appeared, because the last day has not come. Our Lord Jesus has not returned and shown us the whole package. But what we have seen in his resurrection life, that is our future. And when he looks at us face to face on that great and glorious day, we will be changed. But even the hope in that promise now makes us a part of the trajectory of what God is up to. Makes us a part of the kingdom of God. Even the hope that we have in that promise, it purifies us. That's how faith works. God says, I make you clean. Yes, Lord, I am clean. Come into my presence, for you are clean. Yes, Lord, I am clean. I'm here in your presence. I hear your word. I cling to it. I know my sin, but you wipe away my sin. The blood of Christ cleanses me from my sin. So when we go out of this place, we have wisdom to see sin. Recognize it in ourselves. Recognize it in the world. And we fight. We fight. We lose. We win. We fight. We don't give in to it. We don't embrace it. We have some good days. We have some bad days. But we know what it is. And we don't find our identity there. We find our identity in Christ. We seek his righteousness. We seek his forgiveness. We seek the holiness that comes from the blood of the Lamb that covers and washes away our sin. And those disciples going on the roads to the cities, to the towns, to the synagogues, to bring this new word. Yes, the Messiah that you hoped for. The Messiah. In all of those words, all the way through. The other shoe is dropped. He's come. He's provided an end to all the foreshadowings of forgiveness, and he's given us the real thing. He's given us the blood that takes away the sin of the world. And not just the blood that puts it away into a storage spot. No, it cleanses us from all sin. And he calls us into his righteousness, giving us eyes and ears to see as he sees and to hear as he hears, to walk as he walks, to be his disciples, beckoning us forward. Even as we stumble, it gives us that much more light so that we might see again. Children of God, disciples of Jesus, commissioned with his word as witnesses of his hope, trust him. Trust the gift of his promise. Trust the cleansing that comes from his own blood. Trust the righteousness that covers all your sin. Trust that as he works in and through you, his will be done. When his kingdom comes, all that is lacking will suddenly disappear. You will be like him, perfect as he is in the presence of the Father. The perfect you that has never been to this moment, but that the Lord God Almighty looks forward to embracing with his nail-scarred hands and his broad, broad grin as he enjoys the welcome to bring you home. Until then, teaching and preaching and sharing of the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ goes on to proclaim his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem all the way even to this place. For everything the Lord has spoken must be fulfilled. Amen. The peace of God that passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith towards Christ Jesus. Amen.